Welcome to HR in the Car with Miriam Duchesne and Tom Shin of Allant Workforce Solutions, where exciting HR professionals and business leaders share laughter, insider stories, and maybe even a few tears about HR in today's world. Buckle up for the best half hour of your week.
Today we're going to talk to one of my favorite people in the world. I've known her for, it's got to be about 10 years now. Before she was ever at WDI, she used to work for another organization in the academic space and was like, the poor thing, like traveled like 100% of the time. But anyway, so Cricket Thomas O'Dell is going to be joining us to talk about WDI apprenticeship programs and the skilled trades.
Awesome. I think she's also been spending a lot of time with the Building Trades Council, as I understand.
And correct.
She's got a great story to tell around all the opportunities that the trades provide.
Absolutely. Take a listen. So Cricket, welcome to our podcast. I am so glad that you joined us. And I want to learn more about what you are doing at WDI. So just share with us your title and your current work that you're doing at WDI and what WDI is for people who may not know actually what WDI is.
And that's a good point. Well, thank you for having me, both of you. Yes. As I said right earlier, I am splitting my time now between WDI, Workforce Development Institute, and the New York State Building and Construction Trades Council. And WDI, which I found out was a best-kept secret, we are state-funded. And so, like everyone else, we're waiting for that budget to be passed because all of our funding comes through the state. If you look through the state budget, legislature, and all that great stuff that people love to read, I'm sure, you'll find us underneath AFL-CIO, and you'll see Workforce Development Institute. We have been there for about 20 years now. And what we do is I call it the C3, F2. We convene, we collaborate, and we consult when it comes to businesses, organizations, not-for-profits, any and all people who are looking to strengthen and build a workforce. And then we could also facilitate and fund. That's the other part of it, the F2. So C3, F2 is how I remember it. And I tell people at cocktail parties or, as we call it, our elevator spiel, that's what we do. And my husband laughs because he says, wow, what a great job. You get to go around and give out money to people. I'm like, yes, I do, because I'm helping to strengthen the workforce. So if you are any of those entities I mentioned before, not-for-profit, educational institution, a business that's looking to strengthen your workforce through some skill building, through training, through equipment, then that's who we are. We are the people who you come to. And if we can't provide the actual consultation that you need or convening that you need or collaboration needs that you have, then we'll facilitate and provide funding for you through our what we call a facilitated funding program, which is great. It's reimbursable grant that we'll provide for you. The grant application is 4 pages long. It's really, really easy, if you will. I know a lot of people hear the word grant and they're like, oh my God.
Oh no, it's going to be 50
forever.
Pages. Yeah.
Yes, and require a lock of hair, my firstborn child.
But right, and you don't know that you're disqualified until you get to page 49.
Exactly. Whereas we tell you up front, you know, that this is a great project, fill out this 4-page form, and we'll get the process rolling for you. We turn it around in about 2.5 weeks to a month. So
That's great.
It is. It's really
pretty fast.
That's why we're really popular. Once people find out who we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. CanCode's original seed money actually came from WDI.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Anne-Marie Lennessy will share that story with folks how, you know, when it came to figuring out what she wanted to do with her program, we were the ones who she came to, and we provided that, as you said, the seed money for her program.
Yep.
And we do that for a lot of organizations. I think about the fact that before I took on my current role, which has been in place for a year and a half now, I was the regional director for the Capital Region. So I just had 9 counties here in the Capital District that I did all those things for. And the projects that I got to get involved with were just, they're life-changing because you're able to, again, help a workforce either become stronger in terms of their workforce needs or help lift them up, you know, from where they were. And so, yes, it's been, for me, leaving that, but moving into what I'm doing now, I just get to heighten that because now I'm working with the New York State Building and Construction Trades Council, and they oversee all of New York State's building trades. So the skilled trades that you hear about, the carpenters, the plumbers, the steam fitters, piper, cleaner, all of them.
Pipe fitters and electricians and all that.
Oh, gosh. We have roofers. We cover carpenters. operating engineers. I should know them all by heart, but I don't yet. there's 15 to 18, depending on where you are geographically.
Wow.
And as I said, the New York State Building Trades Council covers all of them in terms of providing the umbrella for their union members to know that this is an organization that's here to make sure that we keep all of your benefits in place, your pensions in place, working on project labor agreements where projects are going to be coming up wherever you are located. And it's been very exciting, very interesting. This morning I was at a breakfast with our speaker from the Assembly, Carl Hasty, because our ties to the elected officials are very strong in terms of making sure that they know what labor needs and we know what they need. And it's been, as I said, the past year and a half, very exciting going throughout New York State, learning about the different trades that are out there, but also specifically focusing on the work that I do.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And the skilled trades are so very, very important. We were talking before we started recording about how the aging workforce, when it comes to the skilled trades, it's a, I hate to use the word epidemic, but it is. I mean, people do not live forever.
And
the last time I looked, and it's probably older now, the average age of a skilled tradesman nationally was about 55 years of age.
Absolutely. But that happens because, again, you are coming into an industry that has a wonderful pension plan. Mm-hmm. And so when you are starting out, sometimes 18 years old, in the skilled trade, you have a pension plan, a retirement plan that allows you to retire with dignity. You can retire at 55, 60 years old. And if you want to start another career, but you have your boat, your car, your whatever, they might have a new boat or an old boat. But either way, they have all these things in place so that they can retire with dignity and have a great life.
Well, and I think that's the misperception of the trades. I was talking to a mom and she was talking, kind of lamenting almost in a way, about her son potentially going into the trades. And I was like, do you realize how much money these individuals can make? And once I educated her a little bit, her entire tune changed. So that misperception of these trades jobs not being good career opportunities, it's scary to me. We need to get the word out that that's
Absolutely.
Not the case.
Right. I think they get lumped in or categorized with these one-offs. The person in the van who's doing it for the summer and then snow plowing in the mm-hmm. winter and then trying the next career out the next summer and just kind of this vagrant model of employment.
Exactly.
That the parents or relatives or family just think, this person can't hold down a job.
Right.
Versus the one who's actually making a career, making the investment in themselves, as well as with the outfit that they're working for, whether yep. it's the union or otherwise. I think that it just gets a bad rap.
Right, and we focus strictly on unionized construction industry. And so, but to your point, there are the day laborers who, as you said, you know, they are here to do a job, you know, and it's typically not well paying as if you were in the unionized construction industry, whereby we call it the other degree, because the gatekeepers to folks learning about what great careers are in the skilled trades are not only just the parents who don't know, but also, and I can say this, you know, with all due respect, the school counselors.
Yeah.
One of my graduate degrees is in school counseling. And if you go into any school counselor's office, you'll see the pennants there from all the Ivy League top tier schools, because unfortunately or fortunately, that's the way a lot of school counselors, guidance counselors, as some of the folks call them, are gauged. That's how they're rated, by the number of students you get going into those top-tier D1 Ivy League schools. And so are they going to talk about the trades? No. And I think back when I was in high school, I never, ever heard about laborers, about union, about organized, you know, the workforce. I never heard about that.
Here in New York, I mean, where I grew up in the sticks, there were your academics, as you mentioned, right? The mm-hmm. ones that are pushing you what college you're going to. And then they categorize, quote unquote, as the BOCES kids, which, you know, you look now at all the great things that the BOCES programs do here regionally and across the state. I think there's just a lot of miseducation, misinformation
Absolutely.
About, you know, what these programs and
yeah.
the skills.
If you went over to the Capital Region BOCES over on Albany Shaker Road,
yep.
oh my gosh, you would be amazed.
Mm-hmm.
They just opened a brand new facility there, and what they provide those students is just phenomenal. And again, the fact that we can't get that word out as much as we should is really scary, because we do need to address that gray tsunami that's occurring with all the retirements
yeah.
happening.
Yeah.
So I am very pleased because, you know, just a side note, with the Capital Region BOCES, we just had about 2 weeks ago a signing day ceremony.
Yep.
And if you're involved, and yes, again, in true transparency, your daughter was a scholar athlete. She went to Shenandoah High School. She played varsity, you know, basketball. So, yeah, we were part of the whole hoopla of kids, you know, who were they signing with, you know, and then they, you know, everyone come down to the gym and all classes were canceled, big assembly and media was there and the kids were signing off on what schools they were going to, you know, what they're playing in. And granted, yeah, they deserve that attention. They deserve all that, you know, hoopla,
hype,
if you will, and hype. But what about those kids who were not going on to college because they knew that at that time, I don't want to go to college because I want to become an electrician. I want to become a carpenter. I want to become a roofer.
Mm-hmm.
Do we just ignore those students?
They don't get celebrated.
Well, right now we are, and that needs to change.
Right. But not anymore. Again, we had a signing day ceremony at the Capital Region Boise 2 weeks ago, whereby the focus was on those students who are going on into those type of careers.
The
That's
apprenticeships
awesome.
And so forth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes. An apprenticeship program is a 4-year or 5-year degree granting type of program as well, because most apprenticeship programs will require at least 4 or 5 years to get through. You start off year one as an apprentice and you're making above minimum wage, sometimes $20 an hour. And there is talk right now in some of the trades whereby they're looking to even increase that more. But so you start in your first year with over $20
You're
an hour.
Basically getting your education and being paid for it at the same time.
At the same time, as we say, you're earning and learning.
Right.
And you're not
you're 4 years ahead at this point.
And you're not incurring any debt.
Yes.
You're not incurring any debt whatsoever. And again, as a parent who sits here, and again, in true transparency, our daughter went on to play and study at RIT.
Mm-hmm.
Now, being one of private colleges, you know, it is...
Cha-ching.
Very much so.
I can raise my hand.
Yes.
My son went there for a year and actually decided that it wasn't the best fit for him and moved on. But yeah, cha-ching.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And because they wanted her so badly, you know, to play ball for them, you know, they gave us some money, but still.
Still. Mm-mm.
Not enough. Yeah,
no,
we had the
enough.
Same conversation with my youngest. He got accepted there, and the amount of financial they were giving still wasn't going to eclipse where he ended up going, which was Buffalo, you know, and they still had the better overall value for us. And he loves it there. So no fault to RIT.
Exactly.
But.
And I say the same thing, Cricket. I mean, my son just graduated from SUNY Oneonta with a computer science degree. My daughter's in college right now. I do not have a college degree, but my dad was a heavy operator engineer.
Okay.
So I knew that, and I knew I probably know more about skilled trades and tradesmen than maybe other people. Not that I was going to do that, but the reason I never pursued it was because I didn't think I could. Okay, so think 20, 25 years ago or more when I was a teenager. I saw my dad do it. My dad's this big, burly guy. But I'm a girl. I'm not going to be a carpenter. I'm not going to be a mechanic. I'm not going to
operate
a bulldozer. But
Four foot nothing.
Hey, 5 foot. I'm 5 foot nothing, not 4 foot.
In heels.
But I recently saw in heels. I'm 5'3 or 5'4 in heels, I'll have you know. Anyway, but you recently released... I know I saw it through your feed, and you were involved with it, a video about the trades. And what particularly interested me was it was a female.
Yes.
A person of color who I think was like operating a bulldozer or a backhoe or a crane.
Operating engineer, yes, absolutely.
So tell us a little bit more about that awareness campaign, because more girls need to see this.
Absolutely. And that's, again, part of what I'm doing now is building that awareness, and that promotional video that you saw. Look further in it, because you'll see a young blonde woman, probably 4 foot, who's
a carpenter
now. I
think I might have seen her, but maybe I didn't watch the whole thing. It's possible I didn't
watch
the whole
thing. It's a young Miriam. That's what it is.
Yes,
It's a little me.
Yes, absolutely.
What was she doing?
She's a carpenter.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. But that promotional video was created so that we can share it in places like schools, other places whereby, again, you don't get the knowledge and awareness of what is available in the skilled trades. And so for us to do that, we utilize actual apprentices, first-year apprentices. For the most part, I believe all of them are first-year apprentices. So to hear their story, to hear them tell you that, wow, we're so glad we got involved in this pre-apprenticeship program because we never would have known that this was available for us.
Right.
And that's the key, helping people to know that this is something that's available for them, because had I known this, back to our daughter, who we love dearly, I joined WDI, 2019, 2018?
Yeah,
and so I am learning all about, you know, the skilled trades and the unions and labor unions and all that's involved in them. So I'm sharing all this information at home, you know, with my family, my husband, her dad, and her. They're hearing all about this. And by that time, she had come back here from Rochester. She was out there, got a job after RIT, then got transferred back here. And so we would ask, so how's work going? Yeah. Unbeknownst to us, to her mom and dad, who are every month paying that Parent Plus loan.
I feel
you. She went and joined the Carpenters Union.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
That's a tough pill to swallow. I mean, you applaud her for chasing her dreams.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
But knowing
at the
what
same time,
tuition
you're like,
bills look like.
No! Looking up to the sky. Why, like, oh. Lord, why?
I look at those types of things, though, and not that you want any family to have to go through spending $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year mm-hmm. for 4 years to discover that they want to go down a different path. But, you know, the ones that are in school or are on a track or whatever to change majors is super common.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest has changed his major. He's on his third one. Hopefully he stays there. And he's only in his second, you know, finished his second year.
Well, you're lucky it's just changing the major, because
right?
I had two kids and I have
six
different t-shirts,
yes.
Which I was completely supportive of, because I could go off on a tangent about how it's very unfair for us to try to have these young people figure out what the heck they want to do at age 17.
Exactly.
But it's also the argument for, you know, the families who have this poo-poo thought of community
mm-hmm.
colleges.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, there's an experiential part to going away and being responsible.
Absolutely.
Whether it's to go away to the 4-year school, the 2-year school, some other sort of educational method or apprenticeship. Any of that,
mm-hmm.
right? There's an experiential portion to that. It's just you had to pay for your experience.
Yeah, and we're still paying for
and
it.
Yeah.
I'm probably paying for it until they put me in the ground. But, you know, again, as you said, she's happy now. She loves what she does. I mean, she has, like I said, the security, if you will, of having the benefits that they provide, the earning while you're learning, you know, the increase that you get every year, you know, that you're an apprentice. And bottom line, she's happy.
Yeah.
And
well,
that's the most important thing. But one of the other things, which I think is super important, we were talking about this. I was talking with this group of professionals the other day about pensions.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do a better job of educating our young people of what the hell a pension is.
Absolutely.
Because they don't know what it is. Their parents don't have pensions. They have 401ks, if they have that.
Right.
And they have their own if they are wise enough or have the ability to save outside of a 401k.
Exactly.
And so, but they have a pension. I was like, you have to tell them what a pension
is.
They don't know what it is. That's not a selling feature for them.
No,
you have to explain what that actually
is.
Exactly.
It has no relevance
Absolutely.
To them. And unless your parents are talking about it on a regular basis, which my husband being the financial manager in the house, he is talking about those things.
Good.
So, but yes.
But
so.
Yeah, see, I think that's just as important, because the
we'll
benefits.
We'll talk about the eye roll.
Yeah, right? The benefits, benefits are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefits that are afforded to skilled tradesmen in unions are far superior.
Absolutely. I mean, you can compare them any other industry whatsoever, especially
power numbers.
Well, exactly. There's strength there. There's strength in numbers, and the fact that we have so many folks who are in the unions, and unions are on a comeback.
Yep.
And again, outside the skilled trades, look what's happening with the Starbucks,
mm-hmm.
with the Amazons, with all the other industries outside of construction that are saying, hey, we recognize we need to have a voice, because no one else is looking out for us. So we need to have a voice that's going to help us to, again, get us to secure those benefits, secure opportunity for have pensions. That's important.
Absolutely.
For your life,
yeah.
In terms of quality of life. And especially when it comes to looking at a quality living wage, I mean, people shouldn't have to work 2 and 3 jobs to try to support the family.
Absolutely.
And when you have a good paying unionized construction industry job, you don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
Amen.
It's a career.
Absolutely.
Well, and I don't think it is broadcast enough that you go into those skilled trades, learn proverbially how to swing a hammer, how to run a wire,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. But it's not to say that you're going to swing a hammer for 30 years.
No.
There's superintendents, there's foremen, there's leadership opportunities. Maybe you learn how to do multiple. And so I think people think, I'm going to be stuck in this one vertical for the rest of my life.
No.
And that's just
That's not the case at all. In fact, and that's what I use to help me deal with writing that check every month to Parent Plus is that she has the education that she can
We're not
now.
Not bitter at all.
Maybe she runs her own shop someday.
Exactly. She has the education behind her now that she can, you know, take this, you know, maybe move the ladder even faster than someone who didn't have a college education behind them.
Absolutely. Right. There's value in a college education, but it's not the only avenue. Right. So the more we can talk about it and sing it from the rooftops, the more happy I will be about it.
It's a choose-your-own-adventure, really, right? You think about those books when we were kids. It's a choose-your-own-adventure.
Yes.
You can go this route and steer left, and if you the Oregon Trail effect, you get dysentery and all that fun stuff.
Okay, well, let's not go down the dysentery route.
I want to circle back to the WDI piece, because you mentioned something about CAN code communities being, you know, coming through WDI for some of the funding. I'm wondering about any other local success stories that you might be able to share with us.
Oh, gosh, other local success stories. And I've been away from the Capital District per se for, like I said, over a year and a half now. But I know we work with all of our skilled trades unions in terms of providing them with equipment for, again, their apprenticeship programs. I think of a couple that I did. Remember the restaurant that was in downtown Albany, La Serre? And during the pandemic, what happened with a lot of restaurants, there's, of course, closed down as well. And that is a 40-year, I believe, restaurant that second generation was running. But again, the pandemic forced them to close the doors. Well, the son was in the kitchen one night, apparently putting together some concoction, and served it to the family, and they loved it. And they're like, wow, you really surely sell this? And he's like, yeah, I wish I could. So he's trying to do it from the entrepreneurial perspective, you know, as best he could. Someone said, you should call WDI. And at that time, I was in that position whereby he reached out to me. And I was like, oh, so what do you need? What are you trying to do? And typically, we don't work with entrepreneurs per se. But in this case, the family business had been established for a while. And what he had been proven to be a solid product. And we were able to provide him with a grant that he was able to open up his own commercial kitchen. And so now, if you're ever in Price Chopper, Market 32, or go online and you look for that, it's called hot crispy oil. It's in a jar, and you can put it on anything. I put it on my scrambled eggs, pizza, whatever, but hot crispy oil comes in two flavors, extra hot and regular, and we were able to provide him with that commercial kitchen, which now his, of course, business has blown up significantly.
All right, gotta know, are you a regular or are you an extra hot?
I'm half Jamaican, so I do the extra hot.
Yeah, baby. So I'm going to go a little bit, and we're running out of time, but I want to get this in. I learned something fascinating about you probably about a year ago, and that you are a black belt. Tell us really quickly about that before we go.
My mom put me in judo when I was 10 years old. She got tired of coming home and seeing that my older brothers and younger brothers who were bigger than me had, you know, used me as a football, basketball, just tortured me. Yeah, they tied me to a tree, tried to set me on fire. I mean, they would just, they were horrid. They were horrid. So she heard about this judo class. That was a summer program. She put me in it, and I stuck to it. You know, I studied judo from 10 years old up until 17, and when I went to Russell Sage College, and it was great that the Troy Judo Club was right around the corner from where I went to school. And after making black belt in judo, on the second floor of 177 River Street was the Troy Sato Karate Dojo. And so I always heard, you know, all that ki-ing going on upstairs. So I was like, oh, I went up there, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, and decided to start studying karate as well. And so I've been studying karate, haven't been studying judo, but karate since then, and yes, I'm a fifth-degree black belt.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
She's a badass.
So you're going to travel into the other martial arts as well in terms of like jujitsu and taekwondo?
No, karate is fine. We get exposed to them, though, through our study. And, you know, when you get this high up in rank, you, of course, you know, learn about the different styles that are out there, and you run into different people who are out there. I also get to participate. There's a Northeast Open martial arts competition that happens here every August, and so I get to judge in that competition, and we see the different styles that are available out there. It's great to be in something that, you know, no matter what stage of life, even through pregnancy, you know, through getting knee surgery, you always come back to it.
Yeah. How often a week are you going?
Twice a week. I try to get there now in what they call the Golden Lions class. For those of us whose knees are like not able to throw the high roundhouse or jumping backspin kicks anymore.
I love it. All right. So in closing, really quickly, roadside assistance tool in your toolkit. What comes to mind?
Prayer.
That's the first one.
I love you so much. It's more the reason why you're like one of my favorite people.
Oh, thank you.
Amen to that. And yeah. I'm not being like sarcastic. Mm-hmm. I believe in the power of prayer too.
Absolutely. And I use that when I'm going into a meeting. I prayed before I came here. He thought I just needed the ladies' room. I went in to pray before I came to do this. But before I go into a meeting, into any setting, before I go to referee a basketball game, for sure.
Heck yeah, you definitely need the angels around you there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for me, prayer not only allows me to open up that channel of communication with me and the Lord, but helps to ground me and center me as well.
Love it.
Thank you so much for joining us
welcome.
Today.
Thank
I wish we had 3
me.
Hours to talk about because we have so much we could talk about on this topic.
Oh,
but
thank you
so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. This
Thanks.
Is great.
Hot, crispy oil. How you like that? As far as a success story, like you try to think of something notable, but like hearing her talk about, and you weren't seeing it because you were listening, but to see the smile on her face talk about hot, crispy oil and how that came to fruition from the gentleman who's in the Le Serre restaurant family. I love those stories where you see somebody come out of, a hard time and create something really, really successful. And they were a part of it that no one even knows about.
Exactly. I actually agree with her that WDI is a really good kept secret and we need to get the word out a little bit more like we talked about.
Make it not a secret.
Make it not a secret. I mean, CanCode Communities literally got their start from the seed money of $75,000 that they got through WDI. And look at it today.
Yeah.
So
all across the state.
Absolutely. And how can we not talk about her daughter being a carpenter now? How crazy and full circle and ironic is all of those things?
I think everything, in some degree, we talk about karma. Some things happen for a reason.
Yep.
And maybe it's an expensive lesson to have. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, being the student athlete part, that probably helped some.
Definitely.
But I feel her pain with the, Parents Plus loan checks.
Yes.
That, I hate to laugh, right?
Do you have two or three of them?
So I'm closer to the finish now, and everything's covered so far. So, we're thankful for that.
But, I'm down to one. Jack graduated, so I'm down to one.
Yeah.
So, but to learn more about Cricket, please go to Alant.com. Check out the show notes that will be associated with her podcast. We'll have information about WDI and all of the different programs that she's involved with. And thanks so much for listening. Until next time.